It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, takes a medicine better. Yeah. Brian Hurtis, our guest tonight. I'm excited to see Brian because I love race car driving. Actually, I dig cars. I'm not nuts about the guys who drive them, but I'm really crazy about the cars themselves. Brian, I like a lot.
Right.
But I don't go nuts over the guys who are piloting them.
It's
I
not
just
even
appreciate
the racing.
The car.
It's just the power of the vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even like to see them moving.
Right.
I like to get down in the pits and look at stuff. Yeah. And as you know, I like to confound the race drivers by asking them all sorts of nonsense questions that they can't answer. Like, are you catheterized? And do you, what do you got, a 6-speed in there?
There you go, 6 speeds.
Nice. Does that car have a reverse, or they just push you back?
It's got a reverse. It's next to impossible to use, but hopefully you don't need it.
You mean you can't get it? It's hard to find,
It's a whole different lever. It's on the other side of the car. It's, you know, only if you're in a really bad spot.
Brian has been in here. Well, let's see. He was here in, 97, 98, or 98, 99. They missed last year, and he's back. He got. He was telling us off the air he got second and third. And then what was it last year?
Fifth.
And this year, I'm going with first.
Yeah.
So this is the CART series. And has it always been the CART since you've been
Long championship
Beach?
Yeah, championship auto racing teams. It's always been the same series, although, you know, they used to be called Indy cars, and now they're called Champ cars.
Right. And basically, these are a step down from the Formula One.
Well,
and they're put it this way. All right, let me draw an analogy, and I'll stick to cars here.
Okay.
Formula One would be like the Ferrari, and the CART stuff would be more like an American car that was beefed up in the sense that it had the same. They both may have 400 horsepower, but the Ferrari engine's a pain in the ass to fix and a lot more complicated.
Yeah, it's a little more technology intensive in Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just from the car standpoint, that's the big difference.
What is a Formula One car?
What does that mean?
What's that Formula One cost, that car? I mean, that's $1 million, right?
Well, they all build their own. Oh, no, way, way more.
Way more than a million.
Yeah, I mean, the top team over there is spending $200 million for two cars.
No, but I mean just the car itself. And I know it's hard because you got research and development and all that stuff.
I don't know how you could put a price on it. I mean, they got to be spending...
If I wanted to buy someone's extra car off them that was 2 years old, I could get it for under $1 million.
Maybe.
I bet you I could. I know some guy.
Maybe you could.
But the CART car itself is more, you know, the $300,000 or something like
that. That's about $500,000.
$500,000.
Without an engine. So it's much more economical.
Yeah, you don't need an engine.
What is the difference, really? I mean, other than the price.
To look at, not a lot.
Yeah.
We have a less, a more restrictive technical regulation package. So basically, our cars are a lot more similar to each other because there's so little we can actually do to them compared to a Formula One car, where there's really the sky's the limit. If you can dream it up, you can put it on your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unlimited. I mean, they may have 12 cylinders with twin turbochargers and stuff like that. You guys have a limit on displacement,
right? All
and
the
stuff
engines
like
are
that.
Same specification, maybe different manufacturer, but same specification, right? Things like that.
And how many liters is that?
2.65.
All right.
There you go.
Hey,
see, you asked me when I knew.
That's right. All right. So this is going down this weekend in Long Beach. I will be there. I've not missed it for the last 5 years, and I love it. It's just a good day, just walking around with other, fat white guys who are wearing Winston caps, and everyone's got a windbreaker on, and everyone's eating a hot dog, and everyone's got earplugs. You know you're at a good place when everyone's sporting earplugs, whether it be a concert or a race or drag race or whatever.
Basically, you're saying a place where there are no women.
No women.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
There are over there in Long Beach. But here's what there are. Whole bunch of guys, a handful of women, but all the women are super hot, but they all have something to do with the race. They're either
and they're not talking because you can't hear them.
Well, no.
So that's, for Adam, that must be a nirvana for you.
Right, right. You know I don't like the sound of a woman's voice. Thank you. Yes, there are good-looking women there, but they're usually some kind of pit girl or something. Yeah. Thank you. All right, Brian, you're going to set me up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, good, good. I'll be down there. I'll be cruising the pits and
with
drinking
tickets
some
or
beer.
Pit girl?
Everything.
Everything.
All the above.
Okay,
Drew,
you got it.
Yeah. You'll be home on a scavenger hunt for your scrotum, mm-hmm, right? That's what you do on Sunday. You look for your testicles while your wife beats you.
I look for my testicles while she beats me with my scrotum.
Right. That's ironic.
Yeah,
all right. Drew, you want to head down there? Seriously? I'll be down there.
I actually would really like
Why don't you bring those kids down there?
There's my sister's having a baby shower at our house on Sunday.
Enough said. Whoopsh. Maddie?
Yes.
Yeah, last week was the Boss Tones. You couldn't go to that. Maddie, you're 18.
Yes, I am.
And by the way, everybody, just listen for 1 second. I know people think it's a little bit of a cliche, like as to why you shouldn't get married as a guy. But every weekend, I got something fun to do. I had Dickie from the Boss Tones in town last week. I was at the concert Saturday night. I'm going to go to the races this weekend. I was at the Supercross a couple weeks ago. I was at the Winter National Drag Races. All things Drew was not allowed to do.
But it may shock you that I enjoy spending time with my family.
Allowed. Thank you.
Not
allowed.
Didn't miss them.
Forbidden. Maddie?
Yes.
What's up?
I don't think this is a joke. I'm very serious about this. I want to know what is in sperm. Like, when you're having
3,000 calories.
Shut up.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's 3,000 calories?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No. What's in it?
Yeah, like...
Nothing. Almost essentially nothing.
What's in a loogie?
Yeah.
Well, I don't swallow that.
I know, but you know what I'm saying?
It's mucopolysaccharide.
Yeah, what's in a zit?
No, zit's actually a little more protein in it.
All right, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill you, and it's not going to taste good.
Because the guys try and say that it's got protein.
Yeah, about a tenth of a gram.
But is it
nothing? A milligram?
Anyway, fattening or anything?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell my daughter. It's 3,000 calories.
Yeah.
But it's, in fact, about 2.
Yeah. You know your fat grandmother from Philadelphia? You want to know what happened to her? Too much sperm. My dad used to tell my sister. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Grandma from Philadelphia, she took in gallons of sperm when she was young. Well, look what happened. Oh, yes.
That's what I'm sitting here thinking. How much of that stuff do you have to consume to start worrying about the calorie content of it?
Plenty. And Maddie, are you taking in a lot?
No.
No?
Well, me and my boyfriend decided that maybe we're not going to have sex so much anymore, and we're just going to stick to that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Did you decide that, or did he decide that?
Well, this is mainly kind of my decision.
Why?
Because it has to do with having orgasms and stuff.
Well, take notes on this, Adam. You got
yeah,
that?
Yeah, go ahead.
She's going to not have sex because it has to do with orgasm.
I understand. Why don't you want to have an orgasm?
No. I do. Okay, the thing is, like, the only way I can have an orgasm is from oral sex.
Which is normal for your age.
Performed on you, right?
Huh? Yes.
Yes, good. I guess.
But, so, like, every time me and my boyfriend have sex, you know, I like to have oral sex performed on me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I am kind of, like, becoming a problem because, you know, like, it's not that I expect it every time. It's just, like, I should be able to have some pleasure, you know, as much pleasure as he's having. So, whatever. And he was, like, not liking that he had to do it, like, every single time we had sex. So, I just said we weren't going to have sex anymore and we were going to stick to the head.
Oh, you're punishing it.
I see. All right. We endorse this.
Yeah.
The women should assert their power.
Yeah.
Yep. The fastest way to punish a man is through his penis.
The ultimate heart is
through his stomach, but the way to punish a man is through his penis. It's another thing my grandmother from Philadelphia Okay. I didn't really care about half that stuff. What the hell were we talking about with her? Jamie?
Yeah.
You're 21.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, my boyfriend's got a third nut.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't.
It's like, okay, he had a hernia repair. He had, like, a massive hernia.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it repaired in January, and since then,
yes,
third nut.
All right. I got to put her on hold because her phone line's crappy. Brian, I'm going to pay you quite a compliment. I'm really wanting to get through these calls, get to break, so we can talk about cars. Do you understand?
I'm with you.
I rarely have that feeling on this show. Like when we have a band in here, it's not like I want to hurry up and get through the calls so we can
talk about cars.
So I can talk about.
No, then you want to get through the shows. So you can talk to me about cars on the drive home.
I love cars. Ironically, I probably like them more than you do, right? You just drive
them. You probably do, yeah.
Yeah. Like you're like a porn star that doesn't really like sex that much, but you're good at it, and you have a big penis, and it's a gig.
I like that analogy.
Rebecca?
Yes?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Just a lot of stuff's been going on lately with me and my mother.
Mm-hmm. Are you depressed?
Yeah, it's really depressing me, and right. I've been considering committing suicide. I've tried it before, but I have access to a gun.
Mm. Does she know you're thinking like this?
Mm-mm.
Does anyone know?
No, I haven't really talked to anybody about it. I just recently, I ran away a few times.
Was your mom beating you or something?
Oh, she was abused a lot when she was younger, and it's really mentally screwed her up.
What's she doing to you?
And
what is she doing?
She's gotten aggressive with me before, and she's verbally abused me a lot. She's called me obscene names. I don't think I can say.
Yeah, where's the gun?
It's in my dad's closet.
Mm.
It's his gun, but I have access to it.
I see. And so your parents are still together?
Yeah. Mm. But they don't share a room or anything. They haven't done anything together for, years.
Mm. Why, your dad's just living there for financial reasons?
No, he's trying to keep it together for the kids, I guess.
Mm. I see.
I think it'd be better if they get divorced, because that way it would get her out of the picture, because I think he'd most likely get custody, because he's bringing in the income, and he's an X-ray technician.
I see. And why, your dad and you sound like you have a decent relationship.
Why don't you talk to him?
Yeah.
I'm afraid if I talk to him, he'll try to admit me or something.
Had you been admitted before?
No, I just don't want to be admitted. I've heard a lot of bad things about it.
Wait a minute. The idea there is for you to get help so you don't feel the way you're feeling. Right?
Yeah.
That would be what happens. If people started feeling worse after they were hospitalized, there would not be hospitals.
There wouldn't?
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad and you guys sound okay. Why don't you talk to the guy?
I've tried, but it's not, it's not really making anything better, because he's still going to stay with her, and he's also a preacher, so he's, staying with her for his ministry because he doesn't want
him
to look bad, and he doesn't give.
All right, first of all.
Preacher, X-ray technician?
Yeah, because the church doesn't bring in very much income, and he also had that job, he had the training for that job on the side, so he started getting into that.
This guy's versatile.
Rangy.
He's rangy. I mean, yeah, this.
Rebecca, you've got to commit to us that you're not going to hurt yourself. You have to do that. And then what I'd like to do is call you back in about a week. Anne? About a week for her, okay? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can we go week to week here?
Yeah.
About a week to 10 days. We'll check in with you. In the meantime, you commit to us. You're not going to get anywhere near that gun.
All right.
All right? And I'd like you to promise me that you're going to try to get some help.
Well, I have a counselor and stuff, but
all right.
I don't that, know.
You gotta yeah. be open with that counselor, and you gotta talk to her.
Him.
Is it a school counselor?
No, it's
church.
It was court ordered.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. How's that? How's she doing? I mean, you talked to him?
Well, I've only been to one session with him. He's kind of out there. He keeps saying, I need to have fun and stuff. You need to get outside. You need to socialize with your friends. And I'm like, okay.
Well, you make some points.
And I was
you can do that.
My friends are, into pot, so I need to be around pot and get in trouble with my probation officer. That's going to help me.
Probation.
Well, you got a lot of people working for you.
Yeah, probation for running away 3 times and stealing my mother's van.
I see. Your mom drives a van, huh?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't anymore.
Oh, yeah. You wrapped around a telephone pole? Nice. It wasn't one of those custom vans that said Lovetron on the side and rainbow tape, was it?
Big white tiger on the side?
Yeah. It was pretty ghetto.
Oh, really?
It was falling apart.
Yeah.
The doors were swinging open when I was driving.
Yeah, but, back in my day, we had vans. Vans with water beds, vans with captain's chairs, vans with shag carpet on the roof.
Crushed velvet all around.
You know, it's weird. When people go, my dad picked me up in the van, I'm always like, Your dad's got a van?
No,
I'm picturing something jacked up with Kragers and, you know, like a wooden steering wheel. And I realized, no, he's talking about a Chrysler minivan.
Yeah, he's being like an airport pickup.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
It was just an old little minivan.
All right, but you wrecked it?
Well, me and this guy that I was, like, seeing and stuff, we took it out.
Times.
We took it out in the woods, and we were, like, mudding with it. Yeah. And you're not supposed to take a minivan mudding.
No.
We got, it had rained for days before that, so the mud was really bad. We got, like, we camped out in the van for 3 days in a row because it was stuck out there.
No. Now, listen, were you guys doing donuts?
We didn't have any food. We had, like, two.
No, donuts. Donuts. It's a move you do when you get out in the mud with the van.
No.
Donuts.
No, we were jumping.
Okay. Oh, well, watch the S word there, baby.
And
I'm picturing, like, a young Matt Dillon you're on the run with. Who is this guy?
I have no clue anymore.
Okay. Liz, hey, Rebecca?
Rebecca, we'll call you back in about 10 minutes.
Don't kill yourself, but, hey, calm down, baby. You're running away. You're stealing the van. You're smoking the weed. You got a probation officer. I mean, baby,
Enough.
You're 14.
Enough.
Come on, just slow it down. Could you do that?
I can try.
All right. Oh my God. First I was thinking, geez, her parents.
Yeah.
Then I was kind of thinking, geez, I think Rebecca's kind of a wild child.
Yeah.
Stole mom's minivan.
My whole perspective has changed so much. I mean, since the first time I came on this show, I've got a 3-year-old daughter now, and every time I hear 14-year-old girl calling like that, I think that's 11 years away from me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, probably only like 9 years, really, because things...
Generation.
They progress faster, yeah. Because today's 14-year-old does what yesterday's 18-year-old was doing, you know. So it makes sense that tomorrow's 12-year-old will be doing what the 14 and 15-year-olds are doing. That's a figure about 8 or 9 years.
Awful.
All right. Same with you, Drew. Oh, and Drew, you only got about three, four years.
Thank you.
70?
Yes.
You're 18.
Yes, how are you doing?
What's up? You're on with Brian Herta. He's a big-time race car driver.
Awesome.
Hi,
how are you doing?
Good.
I'm just trying to find out. My boyfriend's uncircumcised, and the head of the penis will not come out of the foreskin, and also I pulled it back earlier this evening, and there seemed to be a piece of skin attached to the foreskin, and also to part of the head of the penis.
Well, here's how it works. If it does come out and it sees its own shadow, it means it's going to be a long winter.
Uh-oh.
And if it doesn't see its own shadow, it's an early spring.
Okay.
Is that how it works?
Something like that. Well, there can be little pieces of skin that tack it down like that. And,
okay.
And those can be cut if he wants to try to roll things back, if it makes a difference
good
to him.
Times.
But I know I've heard you talking on the show before about another girl that had a problem like this with their boyfriend, and that it's something that could be concerned about.
No.
No, so it's okay that
what I was
like
talking about was stenosis, where it his whole life it was normal, and all of a sudden he traumatized it, and it starts shrinking around the tip, and so it can't come out. And then it keeps tearing and narrowing and tearing and narrowing. And the only way to really undo that is to cut it all off, cut the portion
off.
All
right, so what should he do?
Yeah.
What should this guy do?
Probably nothing. Unless it bothers him, unless it troubles him.
All right, but work a little Armor-All or something into it, see if we can kind of loosen it up.
With some safety.
A little Utter Bomb?
Yeah. I take mink oil to my penis every night before I go.
What about some clothespins? Maybe that'll work. Some string.
To hold it back?
Yeah.
Yeah, just went to a little barracks.
Yeah, no, you get the foreskin back by loosening up the prepuce with the mink oil, and then you use zip ties, those plastic ties electricians use. Actually, cops use them now when they got to handcuff a ton of people, like at a demonstration.
Mm, good times.
Yeah, those things are strong.
You get the sense it's bothering her more than it bothers him?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you know, women are concerned about what they're exposing themselves to. It's like, whoa, what's up with this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she thinks there's a health hazard
here. I think women would freak out a little bit about
it. It'd be a little cosmetic. Abnormal, yeah. All right. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. You can find him racing his
Adam has never gone early to the first break.
Yeah,
ever.
Cars.
Ever.
He'll be down at the Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix, or the Toyota Times Grand Prix, as they used to call it way back in the day. Race is on Sunday. Celebrity race is on
Saturday.
I hope they all go into the bay.
You're going to be in turn one. watching it happen, aren't you?
Yeah. It's going to be like an Aaron Spelling's old show from the 70s. I'll be wearing a silver jumpsuit, some wraparound sunglasses. David Allen Greer will be going through the chicane. You'll see me pull the antenna up on a little remote control box, light a cigarette, and flip a toggle switch on it. Little red light goes off, and his car goes into flames.
I thought maybe that you're sitting in the stands and they rush out looking for you and they call you down at the last second to come down from the stands and hop in the car.
Oh,
start from the back. And
yes, and I win go. and I weave my way through the pack to victory.
Yes, in the Aaron Spelling version you do.
All right, thank you. That's better. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Oh, yes! Loveline. We'll be right back.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That'd be Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. Brian is a good race car driver and a good guy. And he's been in here, with the exception of last year, this will be his fourth time?
Oh, my. More.
Fifth time.
Fifth, sixth
time.
Weren't you up here once with the guy that got killed driving? Was that you?
No.
We had someone up. Remember this?
Yeah, we had a driver who was on here with a few other drivers, and I'm going to think of those guys' names in a second. He was killed in the Toronto Grand Prix.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff
Krosnoff.
Yeah,
a week later. Very sad.
Yeah, it was. That's right.
You were up here with him. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, just...
That was like your first time up here.
No.
No, second time?
Yeah. I was on in the previous incarnation of this show.
Mm-hmm. You mean you were here when I wasn't even here, right?
That's right. Yeah, I've been here longer than you.
Holy Christ. I think I got more hours logged.
Yeah.
I really do. Sure. God, I hope so. All right, and what, anyway, Brian's going to be racing this Sunday in Long Beach at the Toyota Grand Prix, and that thing has been going on, don't tell me, I'm going to guess, I'm going to say that thing started in like, it probably gone on longer than I think. That thing probably started like 79 or...
Something right around there. 79, 80, early 80s.
And what? Now, it's a pretty tight course, isn't it? Do they change it a little bit each year?
Yeah, it's changed the last few years because of the construction around the aquarium and all the stuff that's going on down that area. But this year's layout is the same as last year's.
And what's the top speed there?
Almost 200, right around 200 down shoreline.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
That's nothing.
Oh.
No, that's fast.
Yeah, it's fast in on that surface because it's a street. It's not a smooth racetrack. It's
right.
Bumpy and
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. And you got those left turn signals you got to wait for. The arrows, kids running across the street, crossing guards, bums pushing shopping carts. I mean, it's a challenge. I didn't know. See, I knew it was kind of a tight track, and I know the shoreline is where the big straight is. But I thought it was more like, I was going to say like 130 or something. I didn't know there's that big a straight.
Yeah,
is it the same? Was it 200 the last 5 years?
Oh yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you, if you go to that race, well, I looked at Drew like he was going to go to that race, but
if you were to
leave outside while the sun was out, anyone who goes, the thing that's to me most interesting about it is right when you walk across a bridge to get basically to the sort of inner infield of the racetrack, and that's a fairly long straightaway that goes under that bridge,
right.
Probably the second longest straightaway on the track. It's, I don't know, a half mile long or three-quarters of a mile long or something. And they probably get up around 150 or something there.
No, about 180.
180 there.
Yeah.
Wow. The point is it goes right into a pretty tight hairpin. And as they go by you, you look down the straightaway, and these guys are going through the gears, and they're tacking the thing out. And you're looking at the thing, and you're going, throttle stuck. Guy's going into the wall. He's going into the wall. He should be slowing down. He's going into the wall. And then it's just huge downshifting and fire coming out of the exhaust pipe. And these guys just make this corner. But the next one will go by, and you go, he's going into the wall. And it's the same thing, and he makes a corner, too.
Wow.
I mean, it's not even so much the top speed as it is
the deceleration,
the turn, and then the acceleration again, then the deceleration again.
I can't even watch it sometimes.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's more difficult for me to watch than to do.
Hmm. Yeah, you ought to get up there with the gutsy guys and stand up on the bridge, buddy. Watch those cars go by. Sit nice and safe inside your little race car, putting around the track. Get up with the men on the bridge. That's where the action is, right, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brad?
Yeah?
Yeah, especially if you're stoned. Then it's like 15 cars. He's going in the wall! Brad?
Yeah?
What's up?
I had a question about androids.
Mm.
It's like a steroid type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if it's like damaging your health or whatever.
Well, what is it you're talking about?
It's like a legal steroid type thing.
You're talking about androstenedione, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good for you.
It's your growth or anything?
Well, it could. It's converted to testosterone. It might accelerate the closure of your growth plates.
Hmm.
Might cause heart problems and strokes.
Why? What are you doing, Brad?
Oh, nothing. It's just that like it can like increase like how bigger you get when you're working.
That's right, because you're taking testosterone, basically.
It's how more bigger you get, by the way. Proper verbiage. Are you playing football?
No. Just,
what are you doing?
Nothing.
Well, listen, if you're not doing anything, don't bother. Chicks like skinny guys, not big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys get big to scare other guys, not to get
laid. That's right.
It's all the David Bowies and Keith Richards of the world that are getting all the tail.
So guys who are doing anything other than that which focuses them on getting laid shouldn't waste their time.
I'm saying most guys who get themselves all bulked up are doing it to sort of screw with other guys or to intimidate other guys or to gain respect from other guys or so that other guys think they're getting laid. But when's the last time you talked to a woman who liked the big bulky guy? Like when a woman goes, I like a guy who's kind of short but thick, real thick, thick neck and huge arms. That's the guy. Unfortunately, chicks don't go for that. It's kind of nice of them, really. And the ones that do, you got to be nervous about. You know what I'm talking about, Drew?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You've dated a few of them. Jamie?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
So, the hernia.
Yeah, that's right. Third nut.
Yeah, so anyway...
He had a hernia repair.
Yeah, the doctor wants to lance it, but he's worried on what it's going to do.
So it's not a third nut, it's like it's a cyst or an abscess or something, right?
Yeah, what he was explaining was, I guess, you can only dig so far into the scrotum to remove the hernia material.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the leftover stuff that's just been collecting fluids, and this has been since the beginning of January.
Right, so he needs to have... it's a cyst, it needs to be taken out.
Yeah, so he wants to wait 2 more months to see if it absorbs into the body.
That's fine.
Is that your kid or do you have a bobcat?
No, that's my kid.
I see.
She won't go to sleep.
Yeah, you got to get her drunk.
Well, no, usually I turn on Loveline and she falls asleep.
Yeah, that does it for most people, really. Drew usually starts going to bed when the show begins.
Well, I can't go to sleep until it's over.
So, I see. Oh, thanks.
So he's in under appropriate care. He doesn't have a third nut. He has a cyst, which is remnant of the surgery. Why are you calling us?
Well, because I want to know, because he's scared. He doesn't want to get it done because he thinks it's going to absorb, but it's been like this. It hasn't gone down at all.
Well, we'll see. If it doesn't absorb, he will have to have it done.
Okay, so what exactly are they going to do? Are they just going to, like, cut it and drain it?
Sometimes they actually take them out.
Ew.
Hey, Jamie?
Yeah.
You had a kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know about gookie stuff.
Yeah.
This is nothing compared to that.
Yeah, he won't let me watch, though, and I want to watch.
You want to watch the operation?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's in it for you?
I don't know. Pus.
I don't think it's going to be pus. It might be debris.
Well, why don't they save the pus? And you can freeze it, make it into a popsicle.
Oh, pussicle. Yuck.
Well, what's up with you? Why do you even want to be near that hospital when he's getting his sack drained?
I don't know. It's just, it's fun. My friend had gotten bit by a black widow, and I watched him drain it.
Yeah.
I just like pus. It's fun. Yeah.
Hey, you one of the Hatfields or the McCoys? What the hell is going on over there?
I'm not your average chick.
No kidding. All right, listen, Vampira.
Yeah?
Don't you have any more kids, you understand me?
Oh, come on.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I see you. I can just see you now up at Sturgis on the back of a Harley right now, throwing your chewing tobacco at some guy. Come on.
Thanks.
All right, go easy. You got some tattoos?
Three.
Yeah. You like a biker chick?
No.
All right. Yeah.
No,
what's
really with pigtails?
What's your guy do? Does he do some welding, construction?
No, he does customer service for a DVD rental place.
That was my next guess. I knew it was either a welder or a biker, or he did customer service for a DVD rental place. Drew, that's usually my third, right?
That and furniture sales.
Yeah. All right, baby. All right, take care of that kid of yours.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near my significant other's private parts when they were being lanced, cut into, operated on.
Yeah. How about stuff coming out of them, like babies?
No.
Yeah.
No. Not my bag.
Were you present when your son was born?
I was. And my theory is this. Other people having kids is gross. Your wife having a kid is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but you're healthy, right?
It freaks unhealthy guys
Brian's
out.
Brian's healthy.
Yeah.
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 It freaks whacked out guys.
He was in his fire suit, though, so he's not that healthy.
Yeah, with my Superman costume underneath.
Oh, man. Kyle?
Yeah.
You're 26.
Yeah, I'm old.
Yeah, what's up?
I had a question about smoking pot.
All right.
I had history with smoking pot, when I was younger. Started when I was 16 and smoked until, I'd say about 23. So I've been off of it for about 3 years. And recently, I just started smoking it before bed to get to sleep. That's like my main thing. I'm getting a little concerned about it just because...
Well, marijuana addiction, it's like an addiction. The hard part is not stopping, it's staying stopped.
Yeah,
and you're not able to do that. And secondly, what concerns me is there are other things you're doing, right?
No
alcohol?
I drink all the time on the weekends.
Okay, except for
on the weekends.
Condescending, Drew.
I'm a lush on the weekends.
Booze. All right.
I am a lush all on right. the weekends. Yeah, I don't drink during the weeknights, and I think that's another reason why I smoke pot at night.
Weeknights are Tuesday through Thursday?
No, Monday through Friday.
Oh, okay, because a lot of our listeners don't count Monday and Friday.
No, I don't drink on the weeknights just because I know I won't be able to get up for
work. And there's alcoholism in your family, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's an alcoholic.
Right.
My grandmother was an alcoholic.
Okay, well, you've inherited that genetic potential, and marijuana is your primary drug. And what happens with pot is it wears off. Its effectiveness wears off. You switch over to this stuff.
So?
And you've made the switch over to alcohol, but you're supplementing it with the pot. But you won't go all the way back to the pot because it doesn't work as well as it used to for you.
So... What's he doing now? What's he got to do?
He's got to stop everything completely.
Oh, boy. That is it. I'm telling you, that's why I'm not getting out of control with anything. I love everything so much. No way. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Good times.
Yeah. I mean, I like everything, you know?
You love everything.
I love things.
Masturbation, pot, red wine.
What was that first one?
Yeah. Napping.
I didn't take a nap. I was going to take a nap tonight. I didn't do it.
Big nap fan.
Are you a big nap fan? All geniuses nap.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'd like to think that was true, yeah.
I'm with you on that theory.
Geniuses and Mexicans, they all nap. I think the Mexicans are geniuses because they close down from noon to like 4 every day and take a nap. I love that. I love that. I got to move there. Or somewhere in Europe, Spain or something. I like a town that naps. Yeah, this town doesn't nap. I don't like that. You nap, right?
Absolutely.
What's your, what are you good for? I mean, you get the quick nap, you get the long nap.
Oh, I can put in 2 hours without thinking about
nice.
It.
Nice.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I just went from infatuated to in love with Brian Herta, everybody. Now I finally need to nap. Leave your wife. Let's start a super race of car enthusiast nappers.
It's not an everyday thing.
Oh,
how would you guys form your genetic union?
I don't know.
How would that happen?
We'd whack off into a Cuisinart and give it to some supermodel.
No, yeah, we'd clone. You put the sperms together and then
right.
take the genetic material out of an egg and then insert your combined sperm.
That's right. That's right. Know. Hey, can we combine our sperm, or just one sperm would win out?
No, yeah, I'm talking about cloning, where you actually take the center of the egg out, so none of her stuff contaminates anything.
Oh, take the yolk out of the egg.
Yes, yeah, and put the combined.
I see.
Half of
it would be half Adam, half Brian.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. See.
Wow.
That's doable. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got good hand-eye coordination with the race car driving. I got good hand-eye coordination for flying the model airplanes. You know,
we could create the superhuman.
I'm cagey. You're crafty. We love napping. We love cars. We could really do something here. All right, write that down, Drew. I'm going to get to work on that. Don't tell your wife, though. I don't want to get...
That's all right.
It's not, she, this is none of her business.
He just doesn't want to fight
with her. She's not listening tonight. So.
All right, good. When we come back, we'll have a question for Brian about getting into the CART series after this.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
This is Nev Campbell, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Dre.
Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Dre over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. He is a big-time race car driver who you can find in Long Beach this Sunday, going 200 miles an hour down Shoreline Drive at the Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix, 25th year. Just talking to Brian about his 2.6 liter motor.
2.65.
Yeah, I know. But I just said 2.6 because they round up. They don't go into the hundreds with the liters. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
You got a 4.4 in your BMW.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I got a 3.2.
Okay.
That's where they round up usually. But 2.6.5 liter engine putting out 800 or 900 horsepower.
Oh,
oh my God!
Boy.
Yep, that's what you can get through the beauty of turbocharging and alcohol fuel.
Mm.
Yeah, but you see, you don't feel that horsepower at under 6,000 RPM, do you really?
No, you're never under 6,000 RPM.
No, it's got to be wound up all the time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, where do you run usually?
14,000, 15,000, 16,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you got to have a built engine to take that. But that's the only time it's really producing power. Huh. You have no torque on the lower end, and the engine is such a low compression engine to accommodate so much boost from the turbocharger that you have to have it wound up. That's the only way you can produce power from the turbocharger, because the turbocharger's powered by the exhaust gases.
Right.
So it's got to be spun up all the time, right?
I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah.
You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is, you can't have a high-compression engine and put a turbocharger on it. It'll blow up. It's too much pressure in the cylinder.
I see.
You'll have pre-detonation.
Right, right, right.
Pinging. Yeah. All right. But they got to make them real low compression, so they don't really run very well until they're really wound up. Reno?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, I'm like really interested in becoming a race car driver.
Done.
Just wondering how I could go about that. Like, I got this flyer from like the Skip Barber Racing School.
Yeah.
I know they have something to do with kart and stuff.
Right.
I just wasn't sure. Like, what did you do?
Going to one of the racing schools is a good first step. Another thing you can do is you can go online and look at www.lasvegaskarting.com, karting with a K. And karting is pretty much the way most guys start out, and especially at 16. You're probably a little young to
Las
go to
Vegas
the racing
karting?
School.
Yeah, like, I wasn't sure if they'd let me go to Skip Harbor.
See, that Las Vegas karting, I actually own a go-kart track in Las Vegas.
No.
So I'm plugging a little bit. Yeah,
What is there's like a racetrack outside of Las Vegas, sort of
a speedway.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a speedway. Every time I fly over Vegas, I'm like, what the hell is that thing?
That's to the north.
Yeah,
to the south. If you drive in off the 15, right before you get to Lake Mead Boulevard on the right side there, you see our track, which if you go on the website, it's got all kinds of information on karting, and you can kind of research it and go out to a race or two and get a look around.
Yeah.
But that's the best way to get started. It's the cheapest and really the way you can learn the most.
And most race car drivers start karting, right?
Yeah, 90-95% of the guys that I'm racing against all started, you know, at a young age doing that.
They, Reno?
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, wait, one other thing, Adam.
Yeah.
I remember, like, probably, like, it was a while ago, like a month ago.
Yeah.
You were bitching about how your grandmother left, like, some long message on your cell phone.
Adam bitching? I'm sure.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it was me, yeah.
And you couldn't, like, skip it?
Right.
Skip it and erase it? Just press 7-7.
Yeah. 7-7, really? Because, you know, I had somebody tell me how to skip it and erase it, too, and I tried and it didn't work on my
really?
Cell system.
I had a Nokia, too, and it took me, like, forever, and somebody finally told me that.
So you press 7-7?
Yeah, and it helps a lot.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Waste of time.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Listen,
good luck
night.
Racing.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, my grandmother called me and didn't put the phone. She called me on my cell phone, and she didn't put the phone back down on her receiver properly.
Yeah.
So my phone kept recording it, and because my phone's a piece of ass, I can't erase calls that I want to erase by just, you know, at the end of the call, they tell you if you want to erase it, you can erase it.
3-3. 3-3?
Not 7-7?
Someone told me that, too. If you have AT&T, it's 3-3.
All right, I got to work this out because I heard my grandmother rambling on in the distance, in the background for like 40 minutes, and I was going insane because I couldn't fast forward it and I couldn't hang it up. I had to wait for the thing to go all the way through, and it just kept going. I don't even know why it eventually hung up.
3-3. Put you at the end of the message.
It's not the phone, it's a service, and you just got to figure out what that is.
Thank you. Thank you, Anderson. Anderson says, don't blame the phone, blame the service.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel better now. Thank you. Connor?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing much. So.
All right. Did we catch you at a bad time?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to talk when you got a towel around you.
Where's the towel?
Nothing.
Right now. How old are you?
Hang on.
I'm 14.
14. See, we get 14-year-olds. Well, this guy's not a virgin.
No.
Connor?
No,
are you a virgin?
I made up that question.
Are you a virgin?
No, I'm not. I mean, yeah, I am.
Oh, you are? All right, let me hang up on you. Listen, everybody who calls the show and says, I made up the question, just ask your question because, Drew, back me up here. I don't read the screen, do I?
No.
Do I have any idea what the question is?
No.
No, you write, you don't even write a number anymore. Drew puts a little post-it stick-em piece
flag,
of paper,
little flag,
next to the number of the call he wants. That's the number button I'm supposed to push on this thing, and I do. So you start telling me you made up your question. I haven't even heard it.
But see, if you say that, we have to hang up on you because we can't have people rewarded for making up questions.
That's right. Only the beautiful people.
If you get through and no one else finds out about it, all right, we'll let it go.
Juan?
Yes?
You're 24?
Yeah. The question I had was, I'm on the line with my wife, Christina. She's also on the line. The question we had is that I have a problem with sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for a lot of years, of course. But now I'm starting to, I guess I'm having sex with my wife when I'm asleep.
No, that happens.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That happens. How often does that happen to you?
Well, it's kind of funny, but it only happens to me when I think about sex before I go to sleep. Well, that's what I noticed.
Yeah. How often is that?
When he thinks about?
Like 4 times a week.
Oof.
Yeah. Hey, Christina?
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
Big joker here.
Does this bother you?
It bothers me because we don't realize till we wake up that we're not using protection. We're not sure exactly what has happened.
So don't you wake up?
The truth is I'm asleep most of the time, too.
Wow, he must be good. He's rocking your world.
I'm worried that I might get pregnant. You know, there's no protection being used.
Why don't you go on the pill?
I'm considering it now.
Well, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, why don't you strap a condom on and
what I told him.
Yeah, before he goes to bed. That way, you know, if he dreams he's on the toilet, you got protection. Well, can't you? He couldn't use my cart. My condom garter idea?
You could if you'd actually manufacture it the way you should have.
Yeah, this is basically a piece of elastic with two alligator clips, two roach clips on each side. You stretch it around your back and you snap it on each side of the condom. It's a condom garter. Keeps the condom up. Think of offering one that's wide in the back for lower back support. Guys like me are a little bit older but still enjoy sex.
A little heating device back there. Wow.
Well, it's going to have the holster for the beer and the TV remote, the dental floss.
Local heat for the low back there.
Yeah, but then you're getting in electronics and potential for fire.
Okay.
You're really asking for trouble there.
Yeah, but is there any way that we could prevent this? I mean, is there like any treatment?
You would have to have a sleep study done to see what the nature of your sleep disturbance was, and there may well be medication that could help you. But at this point, the important thing is to be sure that you shouldn't get pregnant, so she's got to get on the pill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there are also behavioral techniques. I mean, there are things they can do, you know, barriers and things they can put in there so you're not...
Yeah. Yeah, you put a little cinder block wall in between the two of you. Is that what you're saying?
Or the equivalent.
Okay. Hey, Juan.
Yes.
You a Hispanic guy?
Yes.
You know what I love? I was just telling some guy, we got a Mexican guy who works with us. writer on the Man Show. Uh-huh. You know what I love? I love when they yell, "Siéntate!" You know what that means?
But say it again.
Siéntate!
Be quiet.
No, sit down.
Sit down.
It's just
siéntate.
Siéntate! It's the greatest thing to yell at somebody.
Yeah, well, we yell it at our kids.
Yeah, siéntate! It's a great. I never knew what it meant, but it's like, all right, enough said. It's a great thing, and it's great when they put the please at the end too, because it's really bizarre. It's like siéntate, por favor. All right, so listen, you got to get a sleep study done. Go to a local college.
Any hospital would have a sleep center these days, and get it evaluated if you wish. Okay,
not possible to wake someone up to sleepwalking.
Oh yeah, they could wake up, but I don't know why she doesn't wake up either.
Yeah,
but this is sometimes part of a more global sleep problem, even seizure disorders.
So. Okay, mijo, siéntate, por favor. We'll take a little break. Brian Hurd is our guest tonight, and we'll be back after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Yep, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Hurd is our guest tonight. He's a race car driver. He has got himself, he's second, a third in the Toyota Grand Prix, and he's shooting for first this weekend, Sunday, in Long Beach. Still tickets, I guess. I that's what I hear. I don't know how they figure that out, by the way. How many people they get out there?
It's I don't know. It's a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over the 3 days, it's about 250,000 people.
Yeah, they get 3 days. Now, the celebrity race is on Saturday.
Yeah, Friday's practice.
Qualifying?
All the cars are going on Friday. We qualify on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then they have the celebrity race, a couple other things, and then our race on Sunday.
Do they have go-kart races there anymore, or is that a million years ago?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was back in the day, Drew. Mm.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I used to run the track 5 a.m.
Oh, really?
The only way you really learn a track is to run it.
Oh, actually run on foot?
Run it on foot, yeah. Full uniform, helmet.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the way you learn the track. I tell Brian to do that. He doesn't listen. It's big time. But, that's going on all weekend, and I'm going to be out there Sunday, standing on the bridge, freaking out that people are going to go into the wall too fast. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
What's up?
Good, I have some questions for Brian.
Hey.
You're still driving for Chip?
No.
No?
No.
Were you with him before?
Long time ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I missed a few years there.
He's on Forsyth now.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of wondering how you felt about Juan's move over to the F1.
You're talking about Juan Montoya?
Juan Montoya?
Yeah.
It's up on the screen.
Juan.
Yeah, we know Juan. He's a household
name.
He's a Finnish guy?
Yeah, Juan Montoya, the flying Finn.
Well, I mean, I think it was inevitable. He came over here from Formula One testing and always wanted to go back. So, you know, I'm fine with it.
What makes someone want to go from one to the other?
Prestige and money. I mean,
which is,
I mean, the top guy over there, Schumacher, he's making I think $40 or $50 million a year.
Oh my god,
it's like 75 last.
Does he own them cars too, or
no? That's just
racing.
Yeah, he's just his salary. Yeah, he's one of the top, or if not the highest paid sports figure in the world.
Is that really his salary?
Is that the salary? Is that the purse?
That's his salary. No, that's his salary.
No,
and then he makes 60, 70, 75 million with all the merchandising and everything.
Man.
On top of the salary.
Huge.
Total. In addition to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Salary's probably 25 million.
No, the salary's 40 or 50.
Jesus.
So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of money to be had. But probably in level of overall prestige worldwide, Formula One is still the top. But,
You know what's weird? And I don't know if you have an answer for this. I can't figure out the economics of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're, let's say you're talking about Formula One. I mean, you have millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, many, many millions to keep a team running.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a couple of cars, you need a couple of drivers, you got the whole crew and the whole support system and these, you know, these amazing rigs that are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and everything. You have all these events, and I guess there's, you know, there's TV revenue that's generated from it. But, you know, there's...
Some ad revenue on the car.
There's a little bit on the car. There's the prestige, you know.
Where's all the profit coming from?
Yeah, I mean, is Ferrari selling more cars because they win Formula One?
Yeah, I mean, is that part of their history. I mean, like, if you take a Ferrari example, that's part of their tradition, their history. That's what...
Yeah, but they're a business. Eventually, they go, enough of that.
Development, too. It's how they produce the... What eventually becomes on the production cars in the future.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that happens, that for sure.
But they could figure that out. There's cheaper ways of doing R&D.
It becomes part of the culture. Even Honda, you know, racing is part of the whole culture of the company. And
right. But I'm just wondering where the millions and millions and millions of dollars are coming in from.
Well, a lot of it's come from the manufacturers.
Yeah, but it has to be, you know, cost effective for them at a certain point, doesn't it?
The stockholders go, hey, enough of that crap. Let's put that back into
the business. Well, they must see results from it. They must see returns for it.
They just don't know what's happening.
No, come on.
Penciled in somewhere.
I mean, that kind of money wouldn't continually be spent, you know, year after year without some kind of result, without them seeing anything. I mean, I don't care how much you love something, you know, if you're spending $10, $20, $30 million and not getting anything for it, eventually you're not going to love it so much anymore.
It's amazing, too, because a lot of these companies were, you know, pioneers. They were in it for a long time, like Mercedes and Jag, and then they were out of it for a long time. They were out of it, and now they're all coming back into it again, and it seems like just about everybody's into it.
Well, what put them out and what brought them back?
I don't know. How does that ever work, you know? They just
they want to save the money to run the businesses.
Mercedes was a you know, big time into racing, and I don't know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s maybe, and then they got out of it for like 20 years,
and now they're huge.
Now they're huge again. I don't know. A new guy takes over the company or something. So I guess the same with Jag too.
Yeah.
All right, but you know, the Porsche and Ferrari have always been around. Ford. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Are you done?
Oh, no, I could ask Brian tons of more.
Okay. No, you could. You could, but you can't. Alex?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question about AIDS. Actually, I have two questions. My first question is, how long does it take for them to detect it? Like, if you have it, the HIV virus or AIDS?
Well, you detect the antibody response to the virus, and that can take up to within 2 to 4 weeks, up to 6 months.
Okay. And my second question is, are there any places around here where I can go and, like, I don't have to tell them my name or...
Yeah, there are places called alternative test sites. And if there are any AIDS clinics, AIDS Project Los Angeles, you're in Pomona, that's some place you can call and get a referral.
Can you give me a number for that? Or?
AIDS Project?
Yeah.
Just in Los Angeles directory. I don't think we have that out here.
Just call information. Ask for AIDS Project LA.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. What's up?
Basically, I had like a unprotected sex this weekend, and I'm kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah. With what? A chick or a dude?
No, I was with a guy.
Uh-huh. Well, good times. And and you suspect that the guy maybe wasn't playing it safe in the past?
Well, it's not so much that. Like, we've talked about our histories before, and he told me that he had, like, a blood transfusion a while ago.
Oof.
And...
How long ago?
He said it was, like, not a couple months ago, but...
Well, that shouldn't put him at significant risk. Why did he have a transfusion?
He said he's, like, borderline hemophiliac.
No, he's lying to you.
Really?
That's something.
You don't have a transfusion for
that's
that.
That's right. Unless you've been massively bleeding because of the blood disorder. But
well, he said that like he had got a cut, and he had lost a lot of blood, and he's already been tested for that. But
well, there's something very fishy about his story. Something very fishy. But be that as it may, I don't know. I again, there's nothing specifically that puts him at risk.
Get tested.
Let me ask you one last question for him. Were you
just go get tested?
What, was he the receptive partner?
Ooh.
Yeah. Were you the catcher?
I guess I would be if anything, I'd be the catcher.
Is that puts him more at risk,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
All right, get self tested, Alex.
Okay.
And be careful, would you?
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Let's talk to Chad, who knows how the economics of all this stuff works out. We were just asking a few minutes ago, how does Ferrari put out $100 million a year and make their money back, essentially, doing Formula One? And Chad has an answer. Although I'd be willing to bet that Chad's answer is not going to satisfy any of us. Because if I know Loveline, we never get a satisfactory answer. But hopefully we'll be surprised. Chad?
Adam?
How are you, buddy?
Hey, pretty good. Dude, it's an honor to be talking to you. I listen to you guys every night. So.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, dude.
How does this work, this economics, this shelling out $100 million and making it back?
Okay, well, the thing with Ferrari, actually, a couple years ago, they were doing pretty bad financially, so Fiat bought them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fiat makes, like, tons of cars and just tons of little piece of S cars that they sell in Italy and
right.
And so Europe and stuff. Where does the money come from for racing?
Fiat just dumps it into Ferrari.
Where does that money come from?
No, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
But that's not how they're making it back.
Yeah.
That's how they're spending it. Well, I told you we weren't going to get an answer.
That's like saying Ford is a big company.
Well, no, it's like
pours money.
The CEO of Ford's uncle died and left them a lot of money.
Yeah.
So now they're back in racing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't explain the economics of it.
Not at all.
It just means they got more revenue to do it.
Well, there's that, and the stickers on the cars cost a ton of money to put on.
So the sponsors.
Hundreds of millions?
No, not that much. Actually, right. Michael Schumacher's payroll is all from his endorsement. Ferrari doesn't pay him anything to race.
Really?
Yeah, it's all from Marlboro and Tic Tac and.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it really is.
We have Brian Herta here.
He goes somewhere else then, because people are willing to pay him a salary in addition to all those endorsements he gets.
Well, I don't know. I guess he likes Ferrari a lot or something. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Chad.
I don't know is the right thing. Right statement
lot,
there.
Buddy.
That was the operant. I don't know, but.
Well, glad we had some light shed on there because it was bothering me.
The thing is here, I can't even satisfactorily answer that question
here,
for you. I mean,
here,
obviously, it happens and there's got to be some economic.
Well, the answer is they don't make their money back directly off of it, but they make it back hypothetically or theoretically in prestige and in label.
Branding. That's the word.
Branding.
Branding.
Yeah, branding. But you would just think Ferrari just had enough branding to go around. But I guess that's why they're Ferrari.
There must be some historical precedent with what Mercedes did, for instance, that they could study and say, hey, you know what? It's worth it to be back in this business.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if in that particular case there's some government money. I mean, Ferrari's an institution in Italy. I mean, I think the country would be in upheaval if they tried to pull out of racing.
Really?
Fanatical on a level that, you know, sports fans here probably couldn't even understand. I mean, it's
Ferrari.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they've got their fans are called the Tifosi, and they are, I mean, unbelievably passionate towards racing.
Tifosi means drunken guinea in Italian, by the way. Well, listen, these are people who tear down soccer stadiums when their team loses. This is all they got. They got soccer and Ferrari over there.
That's it.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Okay,
and you can see them taking a certain amount of pride in Ferrari over there.
I guess to own one of their cars over there is what I find bizarre.
No one in Italy
can afford that. Yeah,
no, but that doesn't matter. They don't play on the soccer team either.
All right,
it's theirs. That's the way they look at it. All right, and sometimes, and then we won't labor this point anymore. But sometimes. Some guy will die, some old guy, and his grandson will take over the business, and he'll just be a crazy racing enthusiast, and he'll say, we're going racing again. And who cares how much it costs? And that happens a lot of times historically with these car companies. Mm-hmm. Dave?
Yeah.
You're 28.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Nothing. I've been hooked on heroin, I'm not afraid to say it, obviously, for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, everyone I know is on methadone. I mean, and it just seems to me it's like another drug.
It is,
yeah.
And
by the way, that means your life ain't going great when everyone you know is on methadone.
No, absolutely. That's why I extracted myself from that situation.
Right.
And you can't run from your problems within yourself, but you can run from the surroundings that create these problems. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Being in safe surroundings is helpful.
Yeah, it helps
a lot. It's helpful, yeah.
Absolutely.
Leaves you just to your heroin.
Yeah, so my question to Drew, Dr. Drew, is basically, I've heard a lot of bad things, constipation, sexual drive, a lot of things diminish.
With methadone.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing with heroin, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can't even get out of bed.
Yeah. So what's the question?
Well, the sickness basically is what's getting to me. And
Well, why don't you go get treated?
So what's your theory on treatment to get treatment? Away from the sickness? Basically, you're saying I got to get through this sickness regardless.
No. You get through you mean the detox?
Yeah.
You get through the detox, you'll start using again. Guaranteed. 100%.
Well, now he will. You just gave a kiss of death.
That is a 100% probability with heroin. Or you'll use something else.
Say that again? I couldn't hear you.
The detox is no big deal. You'll get through that no problem.
Really?
But then you'll use again with 100% prediction.
All right, so he should
just
kill himself? What are you saying?
Because of the nature of addiction. It's a part of your brain that's operating without any influence of your conscious brain.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been ADD since I was 9.
Well, be that as it may, you need to get treatment for your addiction, which is a long process. It would take a couple of months at least in some sort of structured environment. And you need to do it.
Yeah,
and
well,
Pasadena, call Impact House or call Los Encinas and get your butt in there.
Yeah, well, I've been on programs before. I quit, and I mean, this says in the book, you get a relapse. It's not like a free, get out of jail card, but you still have this period where you automatically you're feeling good and you get back into it, and it's just the reason of my chemical imbalance.
It is you weren't doing adequately in your treatment. I don't know what you were doing, but you weren't participating thoroughly in treatment.
All right. Dave, hang on the line because producer Ann wants to talk to you, possibly about borrowing money or what? No, I think we're going to put together a show down the road. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah?
We'll give him Los Encinas and Ann. Oh, well. Impact House and Los Encinas Hospital. Those are the two.
Yeah. Impact House.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's like a good, positive kind of name. A little scary. I wouldn't want to go to Impact House.
Really scary, but
I'm scared to get hit with something.
It's big walls, and it's a good place.
Yeah. Don't they have something called Pillow House?
No, they have...
How about House of Pancakes? Now, that's the kind of treatment I could check myself into. House of Waffles.
They have the Duvet House. Is that what they call
the Duvet House? Yeah, something in the House of Quilts. House of bedspreads. Some of this is it sounds just a little less in your face than Impact House. Chris?
Yes?
You're 24. What's up?
Well, I'm sitting here at work, and for the last couple of weeks, everybody's been making fun of me because I seem to like heavy-set girls.
Yeah, that's funny.
And that's not funny because I bring home girls, and everybody laughs at me because they're big girls.
Yeah, it's funny to your friends, so. Yeah.
But, I don't know what's up with that.
What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm kind of at work right now, so I'd rather not say. But,
okay.
Well, what's wrong with your preference? I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it is, too. I like big breasts, big butts.
Nice.
The whole nine yards, and they all just bag on me, and I'm getting kind of sick of it.
Yeah, don't listen to them.
They're prejudiced.
Yeah. And it's easy pickings for you, too. I mean, you got your pick of the litter when you like the big guys.
Well,
low
like
self-esteem.
Yeah.
You can have sex with them quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. What happens if you get with one and she starts losing weight on you, though? That can happen.
I haven't had that happen yet.
No, it never happens. That's why.
No, I don't think it ever does happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're all sitting in back. Now they're all laughing at me because I'm sitting back here.
Curse those guys, will you?
Yeah.
Your friends.
All right. I put a curse and a pox on all of your friends. May their head grow in the ground like an onion.
But I'm real fat. But I'm real fat. Are you hot, Daddy?
Listen, big gals need love, too. And like I said, it's just the line isn't as long around the big gals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go in an amusement park, the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Matterhorn's going all the way around the block. Then they got that crappy little train. No one wants to get on that. You hop right on. Right?
Well, yeah, you'd be competing out some of your brethren, but...
What's that?
Well, isn't there a sort of ethnic...
Yeah, but yeah, the black men like big women.
Is it big or just a big booty?
Well, it's a big booty, but that comes on the big women.
Okay.
Then they like big. Yeah. Yeah.
The Twinkie hole, baby! Woo!
They're very lucky that way. Carrie?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
So I get urinary tract infections whenever I'm with my boyfriend. Mm. We only see each other like every 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm. What kind of infection?
Urine.
Urinary tract infections.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that just because there's so long in between visits, you guys kind of go nuts when you're together?
Well, I went to a nurse practitioner who thought that maybe that was what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When we were in the same state, it
It was better.
It happened. Yeah.
All right.
So, what did they do? Did they ask if he was banging the bejesus out of you? How do they?
Yeah, I think those were the words. Yes.
Actually,
well, how did they broach that?
Or I think the holy S was the other thing she might say.
The nurse actually called him moments of fun. So
I see.
Yeah.
So when you're having vigorous sex, you can get that.
And some women get it with...
We're not compatible or something.
No. And some women get it real readily.
Mm-hmm. Well, so they prescribed antibiotics.
Yep. So you give some Bactrim or Sulfa or something?
Yeah, Bactrim. Half a pill every time I know I'm going to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, because I told him I was on birth control pills, and I'm wondering if that's going to affect it.
It really shouldn't. I've never heard of a single dose once a month affecting the birth control effectiveness.
Right. And they know you're on the pill.
Yeah.
So why would they give it to you? They wouldn't. Or if it did make a big impact, they'd ask you.
Wear a condom.
If you're on it,
yep,
right?
Yep.
All right. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. He's going to be down in Long Beach racing at 200 miles an hour at the Toyota Grand Prix this weekend. I'm going to go see him. Drew's going to be running around his living room looking for a scrotum. And we'll be back after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Yep. Loveline. Now, I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Herta. Brian comes in here every year, and he's definitely one of the guests I look forward to. Because I love talking about the cars. I like to kiss Brian's ass so he can get me some pit passes and stuff. And I'll tell you, you go to that race, and you go right into that VIP tent, and you start slugging down beers right there.
Nice.
And then you help yourself to brisket. Oh, there's always brisket at those. Try to get in.
Brisket?
I try to eat like $80 worth of beef and beer at those things.
See, you like me coming on because I don't talk that much.
Right. You leave me alone?
I just sit here. It's like listening to the show, only I get to watch it, too.
I squeeze him for some passes at the end of the show.
Was he not talking?
I think he talked about not talking.
I see. Okay, got it. Okay.
So that counts as talking, doesn't it?
Well, now, okay.
It's hard for me to tell when Adam's, when somebody else talking.
Oh, shut up. I'm an enthusiast, Drew. I embrace life. You know, while you're cowering in the corner, I look at life in the eye. I say, bring it on. And then I jack off and I nap. the world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. That's right. Your oyster. What the hell with that?
Where did that come from?
I couldn't have been serious when I said that.
What came after that?
Was I serious?
What came after that?
You were way on your high horse. I was serious that night.
Was I on my high horse or was I high? Because there's a difference.
I think you were drunk that night.
I may have been drunk.
Oh, yeah, you can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that I drink every night. It's just sometimes. Well, I could have got back from the airport. I was drinking at the airport. Boy, am I drunk. Marina?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Drew, if I ever start talking about that oyster again, I want you to just hit me with the microphone, would you?
Yeah, I will, just being you.
Marina? The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
A big oyster.
Are you drunk?
No, I must have been screwing. I could have been drunk, but even then I must have been screwing around.
Oh, God, I love you, Adam. I love the man.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite
things. Thanks, baby.
Okay, Marina, what's up?
Well, I have this problem. It's like every guy I get with, I cheat on him.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, cheat?
Like, go with some other guy, just, like, mack on him, give him oral pleasure, stuff like that.
Wow.
Gee, should we do a little gambling? We haven't gambled in a long time. No. I'm ready to do some gambling. Let's do some gambling.
I don't have a clear...
Where's my wallet?
I don't know.
Well, that's what makes it better.
Right.
Brian, you got any money?
Yeah, I do.
I only have...
Yeah, not Schumacher money, but you got your own money, right? You got a dollar? Yeah, do a little gambling on Rena's past.
Okay.
Rena, all we know about her, she can't stop cheating on her boyfriends, all right? And she's giving oral sex to other guys. And Drew, you don't get a real beat on her, right?
Not at all.
But you know something's going on, right?
Here's what I know. No sexual abuse, no physical abuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's all
going out on a limb. What do you got there, Drew?
That's all I got.
10?
That's all I got.
It's a lot of money.
Give me some change?
Yeah, I think I can break that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, should I go first then?
Go ahead.
All right. She's needy. She needs attention. She needs a little chaos. 15. Mm-hmm. Already screwing around. And not just making out. Oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Dad was in the... Dad could have been around, didn't pay attention. Really sounds like that. You don't think physical or...
I got it.
Well, you're going to go alcoholic Dad, right? Alcoholic Dad... Ooh, you might go workaholic Dad.
Just Dave, make
all
a
right,
guess.
All right.
Sit here all night, listen to you.
All right, no physical...
I'm going to go
alcoholic Dad... who was an oyster farmer. No, I'm going alcoholic Dad. I got to get more specific. Their parents divorced, but he didn't pay attention while he was there. And then they got divorced and just never saw the guy again. All right?
Okay.
That's my past prediction. Brian, you have one?
Okay, I'm going to go with alcoholic mom who had numerous husbands or boyfriends.
Ooh, good one.
Who were a part of her life for a period of time, but she now has no contact with.
Nice. Strong.
Nice. I'm going to go alcoholic dad, mom cheated.
Ooh. All right. It's like some variety here tonight. Rena?
Yeah?
What's up with the past?
Okay. You guys, all right. My dad is an alcoholic. He left me when I was one. He pops in and out of my life. Mm-hmm. I hate him.
Uh-huh.
He makes a bunch of empty promises. Oh, yeah, I'm going to move down here to Sunland with you, and you're going to live with me. You don't have to live with your mom anymore.
Oops.
And he's just, like, totally full of it.
Right.
And he came around this summer. He was here for about a week. Then he left again, and all he does is sit at home and drink beer. And
they broke up when you were three?
One.
Why'd they break up, you know?
I guess both of them had drug problems, and she wanted to quit, and he really didn't. And he lied to her and said he was going to, but he never actually did. And she got tired of him, and she didn't want me around that kind of environment, so she left him.
Uh-huh. So you don't know if anyone cheated on anyone?
No. I don't think so, no.
That's a good enough story. Is that sort of Brian's? Was that?
Well, Brian had the alcoholic mom and the...
Yeah.
What'd you have? And Dad left?
I had several dads over the course of her life.
A lot of boyfriends with your mom? Raina?
Huh?
Did your mom have a lot of boyfriends?
She's had two boyfriends. The one she has now, I can't stand. He's drunk every night.
Another alcoholic.
Yeah.
She's mad at dad.
Well, so we all got the alcoholic dad.
Yeah, we all got the abandoning alcoholic dad, angry dad.
Yeah, we got that.
Drew, what'd you have?
Alcoholic
you mom
dad,
screwed around.
Mom cheated,
yeah. Yeah, I may take the buck on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I'll concede it.
Well, it's kind of by default, you know?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I feel good about myself.
Serena, are you an alcoholic or addict, too?
Am I an alcoholic?
$2.
I've been caught for being under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, maybe look into some Alateen or some support for this so these behaviors don't become so awfully destructive and painful to you, really. That you're saying that you don't understand why you do this. It suggests you want to stop. If you do, you really need to get into what it is that's motivating this, all the pain and misery that your dad has foisted on you.
Yeah, let me tell you about your oyster. It's not looking good, baby. You hear me?
Oh, I love you, Adam.
Because that's all the world is that oyster. I swear to Christ, I got to get to the bottom of that. There's no way I was serious when I said that. Rena, you really, I mean, you're 15, you're halfway down the road to hell.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, is that going to be on a cart too? You really are. You're going to get pregnant. You're going to get strung out. You're going to be in worse shape than your mom. And there's just going to be a succession of screwball guys, just like your mom did and does. You got to break that cycle. Do you understand me?
Yes, but how do you do it? On my boyfriend.
Stop cheating on your boyfriend. Stop it. You know what the behavior is. You stop.
It's hard.
But that's what separates us from the apes.
Go to Alateen. Got to change that. What's going on in your head.
Go to Alateen. Thank you. Yes. Really, everyone, that's what separates us from the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
We actually have choice.
We don't poo and pee wherever we please.
Oh.
We don't masturbate and nap whenever we please.
I see where you're going now. I should have known where you're going with the poo and the pee part.
And if we can't contain behaviors, then you have to get treatment. You have to do something about it.
Oh. I almost urinate exclusively in the sink now. Do you realize that? You're halfway down the road to hell.
Was it ever otherwise?
It's gotten progressive.
Okay. It's a compulsion now.
And
you see a sink, you have to pee in it.
No, I do. I only when I have to urinate. But I am very used to urinating in the sink. I got to tell you, not the kitchen sink.
Oh, that's off limits.
Kitchen counters are 36 inches off the floor, usually.
Too high.
and I can't get up there with my junk.
So it's not just that it's only where you wash your hands and face.
Oh, I don't wash my face, yeah. So touche. Okay. But the thing is bathroom sinks are usually in the 32-inch range, which is right in my penis's wheelhouse. But I don't like those big bathroom Pullmans, you know, the ones with the cupboards and everything at the bottom, because there's too much lip between the edge of the sink and the front of the cabinet. I like the freestanding pedestal kind, mm-hmm. You know?
The sink is right there.
Yeah, well, right there. Right there. Yeah, right there.
No, there.
There.
Victoria, 27.
Hello.
You're 27.
Yes, I'm 27.
What's up?
Well, my husband is in Mexico. He'll be here Friday.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Hey, turn your radio down.
Hey. I'm really afraid to have sex because I'm...
Victoria.
Yeah.
Turn your radio or television down, whatever that is, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
See, I'm compliant there if you're nice with them.
Who's they? The Mexicans?
Victoria, what's up? So, he's in Mexico.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Go ahead.
And he'll be here Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we've seen each other or anything, but I'm afraid to have sex with him.
Why?
Well, because I'm getting ready to have a baby the 15th of April.
Mm-hmm. So you're, like, really ripe.
I'm just, like, scared. I don't want to do anything.
What do you... Because you're afraid you're going to deliver?
I'm afraid, no, it's not just the deliver part. It's I'm afraid that if he has something and if I catch it,
oh,
and
whoa,
has the baby.
Then yeah. Tell him your doctor said you can't have sex till after the delivery.
Huh?
Tell him your doctor said you can't have sex till after the delivery.
Well, that's what I told him before, and he, because we already had twins.
Yeah.
And they came out normal, healthy, you know, but I'm just still afraid.
Hold on a second. But this guy doesn't sound like a dynamite individual to me.
He has twins up here and he's left for 6 months? What is going on here?
He was deported.
I see.
And,
Are you a citizen?
Me and my sons, we went down there to be with him because my kids were, at the time they were like 2.5.
And is he just screwing around on you down there?
No, he's been working.
So what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that he's going to come back and start cheating, for one.
So he would not have been cheating down there when he was thousands of miles away from you, but he'd come up here to do the cheating?
Sometimes he does.
Yeah, boy.
This is when we were together the first time, and then after he left.
How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay. All right, slow down with those kids, would you?
Siéntate.
Tell your vagina to sit down. Stop with the kids. This guy.
This is the last. I'm going to have my tubes tied.
All right, good girl.
All right.
The reason for being is it's hard for me because I've been single. Being a single parent for my two sons.
Yeah.
And I'm playing the father figure and the mother figure. And
right.
The grandfather figure and
just
so many.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, your husband ain't around. Income's short. Why? You know, you keep having the kids, and it's just going to get you behind the eight ball.
And you're afraid he's going to expose you to illness. That's a bizarre relationship. What is with this guy?
Hey, you're basically saying you're scared he's going to rape you when he comes back.
True.
You're scared of this guy.
Yeah, I am scared.
Does he drink? Is he abusive?
Well, when he gets around his familia.
Yeah. That's his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all Mexicans, and I do speak Spanish. But it's just being around the drinking, the alcohol, the drugs, I mean, just total.
Really?
I mean, my brother-in-law, Miguel, his wife beat. And I don't understand that one.
His wife beats him up.
Hold on, watch the S word there.
Whole family thing going on here.
And then the other one, Alfonso and his wife, he peg legs her, and I don't understand why.
He what?
He hits her.
What word you use?
And the last time he hit her,
she sprinkles a little Spanish in. What's that?
I knocked my brother-in-law out for hitting his wife.
Well, that's nice. Hey, it's nice that the kid's going to be basically raised in a Mexican circus.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're bilingual anyway.
All right, can you calm down?
Exitos en español.
Thank you, Drew. Can you calm down a little bit there and see if you can create a bit of a stable environment for the kiddies?
I have my own place.
Okay.
I got everything going for my kids.
It's okay. Okay, but listen.
Coming back.
Listen to me. If this guy starts drinking or he starts getting violent.
That's the only rule I have. I don't want
to. Yeah. Hey, if he drinks, if he hits you, if he rapes you, if he does any of that, he's out. And keep him out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let him go back with his La Vida Loca. I mean, his La Vida Familia is, yeah, what is that
Familia
called?
Loca.
Yeah, Familia Loca. Yeah.
Hometown.
Yeah, it's crazy barrio family. All right there, Victoria.
Well,
get them
so.
Tubes tied.
Good luck.
And don't take any crap from that.
I never have taken.
All right, easy with the S word. Boy, it's the second time she's worked it in. Oh, this guy sounds like a real party.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good times. Okay. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. He's a big-time race car driver. And when we come back...
Bunch of questions for Brian coming up.
Yeah, good question. We're going to get the answer to the millions and millions of dollars Ferrari shells out each year and how they make that work financially after this.
Hi, this is Billy from Green Day, and you're listening to Love Line.
Yeah, you is. I like that Green Day. That's a good live band.
I would say you like them live.
Yeah, I really love watching that band live. They're good. People don't like Green Day that much, or they don't want to admit it or something, but live, you can't beat those three guys. Brian Herta is our guest tonight. He is racing this Sunday in Long Beach for the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. And I'm going to be there. I'll be the guy with the brisket in one hand and the beer in the other, sitting in the hospitality tent, trying to keep it real. Right, Drew?
At the Trough and Brew, yeah.
You're going to have a lot of food? You got a good tent this year?
Oh, yeah.
That's a beer and brisket?
Does each manufacturer, each team have its own tent?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you guys drink? You got imported beer?
I don't be talking to some of the other teams, I bet you.
Well, no. Here's all I'm saying is, you know, you go to the Miller Lite tent, and, you know, you're drinking Miller Lite.
Yeah.
No big deal, but I'd rather have myself a Heineken or something. I mean, you guys going to have all beer? I mean, it's like imported beer?
I don't know.
Well, let's work on that.
I will get back to you with the answer on that.
I know you got a lot on your plate.
Yeah,
I know you got a lot to think about.
No, that
Sunday.
Just jumped top
this,
of my
this
list.
This is going to be one more thing.
Top of my
That's
list.
That's all. You can handle it. All right, where were we here, Drew? Up top?
Yeah.
Jerry?
Yeah, what's up?
Well, what's going on there, Jerry?
Yeah, I was looking through a magazine, and I found out what the specs are for the Formula One, like, or how they finance the whole thing.
I don't blame him already, but go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Ferrari's team, it's all based on sponsorship.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. Marlboro, they paid $92 million last year to sponsor them, and Shell shelled out about $76 million, not including, like, two other sponsors.
Per year.
Per year.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, so in reality, it actually ended up making money.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just for putting insignias on the car.
Yeah.
Well, the guy wears, yeah, I mean, when the guy wins, he's wearing the cap.
Yeah, you gotta think about it. Yeah. I mean, they reach around God knows how many million people a year when they watch that on TV.
Yeah, especially in Europe, it's huge.
Yeah, myself, I'm not really a big fan of it, but I just saw it in the magazine. I thought I'd tell you guys.
Thanks,
yeah.
Jerry.
Very good.
All right, cool.
Yeah, the Formula One's a lot of twisting and turning and slowing. It doesn't not seem too much passing going on.
In the Formula One.
Yeah, at least whenever I'm not an expert at it.
It's more of a Formula One is about the technology, and it's a lot more of a technical exercise. I mean, last year I think three or four drivers won all the races.
Huh.
So if you're not with the best car or with the best team, you can't win. So yeah, there's a little less passing. It's a different style of racing completely. I mean, ours is a lot more competitive in terms of on track.
The other one is not competitive because the better cars are so far ahead.
Yeah, there's such a great disparity that you know that.
Well, other forms of racing have rules, such and such a displacement,
right, and
such horsepower, such and such weight, and so makes
still
it competitive.
That unless there are breakthroughs every so often, in general, people would be not that different in their technologies.
Well, it takes so much in research and development and wind tunnel testing and all that kind of stuff. And what other forms of racing is like boxing. It's like 150-pound guys with 150-pound guys. It's not Tyson fighting a flyweight. All right. Jason?
Hey.
You're 18. What's up?
Hey. Yeah, you guys rock my world, man.
Thanks.
Love you guys. My question is for Mr. Herta.
Yes.
I was wondering, what's the deal with the split in the two different leagues of the IRL and CART?
Well, there's a split between the two different leagues, IRL and CART. basically, a few years ago, the guy that owned the Indianapolis Motor Speedway decided that he wanted to start a whole series based around that track and that event, so they started the Indy Racing League. And so now there's two Indy-type racing series. There's CART, which I race in, which does Long Beach Grand Prix and does a lot of road courses, street courses, and ovals, mm-hmm. and we race all around the world. And then there's the IRL that does just ovals and basically just here in the United States. So, you know, it's basically spawned off into two different series, although they're similar. We don't race against each other ever, and the cars are a little bit different.
Yeah. Your car's more than any car, more made for handling and shifting
well,
and that kind of stuff.
Well, it's a little more, it's more closer towards Formula One in terms of we have more technology than the IRL has.
Right.
We have more horsepower than they have.
Because they're doing an oval, basically, right?
And they're just, yeah, they're racing on one specific type of track.
IRL, our cars. Indy Racing League.
Indy Racing League.
That's
yeah.
good. Drew knows a lot about racing. He asked before the show whether he actually drove the race car to the race or do they have a trailer for it. He thought they actually just drove cross-country.
Didn't I ask at what speed limit they have to abide by on the way to the track?
Yeah. One of the newer ones had the side impact airbags on them. Luke?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes. The term anorexia,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is going to describe me, but I'm having a lot of problems trying to eat certain types of food.
Why?
I only mainly eat broccoli and canned tuna and water.
Why?
I lost about 50 pounds in the past year.
Intentionally.
Excuse me?
Intentionally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was your weight before that?
I'm 6'3", 146, and I was
185.
146? Yeah. 6'3", 185 is
light,
nice.
Light yeah, I just didn't like how my body looked, really, so.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I lost like 10 pounds, and then I kept going and going, and now I'm having problems eating just like regular meals.
Why?
I can't, I don't know. I think I might gain some weight.
All right, so something's up. Do you like pizza?
I used to.
All right. Listen, the day you stop liking pizza, you got to end it.
But this is anorexia. I mean, this is something that needs to be treated.
This is deuterexia.
Yeah, that's another thing. I've never heard, like, a lot of men.
It's less common in men, but men get it. There's more and more cases being documented as time goes along.
What will this do in the long run? If
it could give you softening bones. It could give you heart diseases, kidney problems.
Well, you're not throwing anything up, right?
No.
Then how much tuna are you eating a day? And usually when we talk about eating tuna on Loveline, we're talking about eating tuna, but this is a rare instance where we are.
You're not talking about albacore.
I'm eating probably about 500 calories a day, but I'm taking a lot of vitamins.
Well, listen, how many cans is that? I don't know calories.
A can is like 150 calories.
How many cans? One can a day?
Yeah, one and a half, and then I eat a lot of salad and broccoli. And
Wow, you must have pretty regular stool going there.
About every 3, 4, or 5 days.
With the Duke?
Yeah.
So wow. A little stuff.
Yeah, spreading it out. There's nothing to move through. Start eating more Mexican like I do. You really keep it moving. I crapped up that writer's bathroom twice today.
Nice.
Yeah. Very proud of that.
Good times.
And one of the writers came out of the bathroom today at the mansion and exclaimed that he bruised the toilet badly and that we should stay off it for a while. I like that. Guys come out of the bathroom triumphant. Hands above the head, high-fiving. That was me. Don't go in there.
What do you mean, don't go in there? They're calling you in.
I always walk in down. I walk up and down the hall where the writers are, and I yell, I'm asking who's in. That's my big cry. I like to sign guys up. Luke.
Yes.
You got to start eating, brother.
And if you can't, you got to get some treatment because this could harm you permanently.
Yeah, you're counting calories. And as good as you may think you look, even though you probably don't think you do, you don't look right at 6'3 and 143.
No way.
No way. All right?
Okay.
Well, how about getting some therapy?
Now, is there like a certain thing, like I can just go to like an all-male clinic maybe without the women there?
Why is that? Why didn't you just...
I'm kind of embarrassed, you know.
Embarrassed that you have an eating disorder?
Yeah, and it's mostly a woman disease. And
well, no one's going to know that you necessarily have an eating disorder. Just go to a general psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And get an evaluation and let them refer you to appropriate kinds of care.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Brian Hurd is our guest tonight. Racing down at Long Beach, doing the Toyota Grand Prix this weekend. The celebrity race is Saturday. I'll not be in that for the 25th year. Drew, stop that, please. Yeah, that's David Alan Greer. He'll be there. He'll be there with Dan Haggerty and the chick that played Daisy Duke in Car Number 5. And I'll be sitting home. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back. Love Line will be right back.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Hey, Drew.
2 minutes early, Adam. You're dying to talk more car with Brian, that's all.
What are we going to do with ourselves? You want to take a call?
No.
No, you don't. You don't want to help?
Talk to Brian.
Don't want to help the kids?
Well.
All right. Let's talk to Brian Herta just a little bit longer. I think.
I'll take a call.
I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't know, because I expect a top three for Brian this weekend.
Yep.
But I didn't want to put a curse on him or anything.
Why would
so
curse
I didn't,
him?
I didn't want to corner him. Oh, the Corolla curse?
Yeah.
The Corolla curse only works.
You have to mean it.
When I mean
it.
And if I really meant it, like if you really crossed me and I really hated you and I announced on the air that I was putting a curse on you, you'd probably
you'd
win every race, not just this weekend. But because I like Brian, the curse is not going to work, yeah. So I don't want to dust that one off. I will tell everybody that it is going off this weekend on Sunday. This is an event, by the way, that even if you don't like racing, it's great. There's just a bunch of rich guys and good-looking chicks, and I saw Tim Allen there pass me in his Ferrari on the way down the freeway last time. It's always a nice day for some reason.
It is.
It's just clear, and it's by the beach, and the wind is blowing, and the skies are blue, and it's just good food and good beer and good times, and then you got the race cars.
Southern California party.
I recommend it, and I really... It's like how the Rose Bowl usually is. Mm-hmm. It's always the best day of the year for some reason.
Right.
So I expect nothing short of that this Sunday. So everyone get out there, and there's still tickets available. And Brian, thanks a lot for coming back.
Thank you.
And I will see you on Sunday.
And one of these days we'll see Drew. I'm gonna beat him down.
Oh, I would love to come.
I'm always a little mildly insulted that it's Drew that they really want to come out there, but I realize it's because I'm so accessible.
That's right.
Because
you're
I go
easy.
Every year.
It's like the chick they can't get.
Yeah, you're like, we can't get your panties off,
yeah,
so
right.
We want you more.
That's right.
All right. We'll take an extended 22-hour break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, what?
Don't forget morning after pill discussion on Sunday. We're going to have a big morning after pill debate on Sunday.
That's great radio. Saying mahalo. See you at the day.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.